Well, a warm welcome along to this week's Sweet Spot, sponsored by SBK. I'm Warren Ashurst, standing in for Dave Clark this week, and I'm delighted to say we have Steve Palmer back in the hot seat. Steve, how are you? How was your break?
Good morning, Wazza. Yeah, it wasn't really a break, I'd say. Yeah, I took the first 2 weeks of the school holidays off work to provide some support for my wife, and I'm definitely more exhausted now than I was a fortnight ago. So they're not easy, Wazza. As you well know, the school holidays is a bit of a marathon, but I'm safely back in the work shed now, and I wish my wife well with the rest of the school holidays.
6 weeks sometimes feels like 6 months, doesn't it? Especially when it's this hot as well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the hot weather makes you grouchy, doesn't it? And it makes kids extremely grouchy. Yeah, you need paddling pools out, and you need all sorts to keep them cool. But went to Wales actually, Wazza. Went to Porthcawl, lovely little nice. Seaside place in Wales. Yeah, Royal Porthcawl, very famous golf course. So yeah, couldn't even get away from the golf. But I'm back at work, and I'm hungry for the game. Hungry for the game, Wazza. Hungry for winners.
I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about the summer break as we go through, but golf, of course, is the main focus here on the Sweet Spot. And just a reminder that SBK are back for 2026. They are proudly sponsoring the Sweet Spot as the official betting partner of the DP World Tour. SBK is the perfect home for all your golf bets this season, and with weekly boosts and some of the sharpest odds around, you can make the most of Steve's picks on SBK. Well, we get straight into the action in a moment when we reflect on last week's tournaments. But Steve, you've been out on the course yourself. I've got a very worrying picture of you quite close to an electric pylon with a golf club and a golf ball. What was going on there?
Yeah, you don't often come across pylons directly in play, do you? But I just slightly tugged my drive left, and the pylon was in play. And I thought I'd treat it like a tree, really. Yeah, the commentators always like saying trees are 90% air, don't they? I did that calculation with the pylon that it would be 90% air, but then straight out of the middle, I flushed a 7-iron, but it went straight into the pylon and then come flying back at me, and it was quite a distressing situation. But I was really pleased to be back on the golf course. It was my first round of golf for more than a year, Wazza, due to arthritis issues. So I just loaded up loads of pills beforehand I started off really poorly, made an 8 at the first, and then as I warmed up, I started playing well again and made a couple of birdies. So I'm officially a golfer again, Wazza. I can't wait to play my next round of golf. It's quite exciting now.
Good stuff. And you were out on the course with our former boss and ex-presenter Bruce Millington as well. All good?
Yeah, Bruce and Paul Keighley, a double act I've known for the best part of 3 decades. When I was thrown into the sports desk in the year 2000, it was the Millington Keighley combo, and they haven't changed a bit. But delighted to get back on the golf course. I think I can beat arthritis, because I remember George Graham. You know George Graham, the old Arsenal manager. Yeah, I never forget a quote from him, because he was saying when he retired from football, the thing he was most looking forward to was getting out on the golf course. But then he got really bad arthritis, and as soon as he retired, his arthritis was so bad he couldn't play golf. So I was worried I was going a similar way to George Graham. But I think there are ways around it if you get the dosage right, Wazza. But needed a strong dosage, Wazza. Needed a strong dosage. That's a tough word, dosage. Needed a strong dosage after the Jackson Coyve and Michael Thorbjornsson debacle. I mean, you must have been following that.
I was. Well, before we reflect on last week, let's look back at those two then winning recently on tour. I mean, Jackson Coyve was frustrated because you flagged him up for some time, Steve, and you've been on him a couple of weeks prior as well. But I suppose for you, even though it will be frustrating not to be on him the week that he won, you at least can say, well, I saw it coming.
Well, the Michael Thorbjornsson one was much more distressing, actually, Wazza, because Jackson Coyvan got on at the halfway stage. So I backed him at 17-2, got a bit of 8-1. So I was delighted to be on Jackson Coyvan. So I went into the school holidays with my tail up because I was on him, because the pre-tournament tips were poor. So every motivation to get involved at the halfway stage, and you could see he was fit and firing, couldn't you, Wazza? Were you watching that tournament? Yeah, my concern about
a little bit, yeah.
My concern about Coyvan was his back. I mean, he puts a lot of pressure on his back because he's got an unusual swing, So I was a bit concerned about his fitness. Like the 10th place in the ISCO the previous time he was out, I was a bit concerned. I wasn't convinced that was evidence that he was fully fit. But then over those first 2 days, he looked good. And then, Scottie Scheffler was up there to maintain the prices. I wasn't that heartbroken by Koivunen. I hope plenty of punters, it seems like plenty of punters were on him. I was pleased with that one in the end. Thorbjornsson was the killer blow, I'd say, was it? Because, I like to, I don't know whether you know, I get away from betting completely on my holidays. I like to cleanse the mind. Yeah. Cleanse the mind, was it? You know how betting and particularly golf betting.
And it's needed, isn't it? To be honest, you need to have a break every so often.
You do, because golf, there's no greater strain on the brain box than golf betting. So when I'm on holiday, I get away from it. And when I saw Michael Thorbjornsson, I was absolutely gutted because, he was fourth in that tournament last year. Rocket Classic sets up for players of his ilk. He's shown some form in the Scottish Open in the build-up. He was playing well in the build-up. So I'd be staggered if I wouldn't have had Michael Thorbjornsson. So then last week I was just praying that someone else, another one that I would have backed didn't win. I wouldn't have had Michael Brennan. I think, we discussed the Wyndham, but I wouldn't have had Michael Brennan, but I would have had Michael Thorbjornsson. And so lessons learned, was a don't worry, I'm full of beans.
Fully refreshed and ready to go. Before we look ahead to this week's two tournaments, let's look back at last week's action, and we'll start off with LIV Golf New York and Joachim Niemann, who won by 3 shots. It's his 9th win on the LIV Tour, maybe not as, successful this season as he was last time around, Steve, but again, a player of such high quality, it's never a surprise to see him winning tournaments like this.
Well, he's the most prolific winner on the LIV circuit. As you say, 9 victories. That's 4 more than anyone else. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka are in second place on 5. So, he, and the other interesting thing about Niemann's victories, that's only the second one in America. So he's won 9 times, but only 2 of them have come in America. He's been a real global golfer. LIV like banging on about how they are the global tour. The DP World Tour, is more of a global tour in my opinion. But Niemann is your classic global golfer now. And the most significant thing about his victory last week was that he got him back in the world's top 50, was it? And you'll remember that he missed the Masters this year. It's a bit controversial. He didn't get any invite to the Masters. He's missed the Masters. You're one of the best players in the world missing the Masters. But he's back inside the top 50. So if he stays in the top 50 to the end of the year, then get a Masters place. He'd be back in the Masters.
I suppose one of the things to point out from last week's New York LIV event was a couple of surprise names probably towards the top end of the leaderboard because of maybe form. Harold Varner III was second and Lee Westwood tied for third with rounds of 69, 65, 69 and 72. That's kind of come out of the blue, Steve.
Yeah, life in the old dog yet, was it? Yeah, 53 years of age. I mean, I'm getting concerned about the 50th birthday that's getting ever closer. But 53-year-old showing he can still play golf. I mean, I know Lee Westwood's probably one of your favourites, and he was. So, I was pleased to see Westwood show a bit of form. And, miles clear of the favourites in that tournament. John Rahm, 41st of 57. Dismal performance from John Rahm. Bryson DeChambeau, only 1 shot better, 38th. The two biggest names in LIV Golf tailed off. A lot on their mind. I mean, there's only 2 tournaments left on the official LIV calendar. But whether they take place or not, I don't know. You've got LIV Golf Indianapolis and then the team championship in Michigan. It's far from certain that they both go ahead. Martin Keimer was very negative about the chances of the team championship happening. So we shall see. New investors are coming in, but these new investors, they need deep pockets to keep your Rahms and your DeChambeaus.
Yeah, certainly looks that way. We shall see what pans out with LIV over the next few weeks. I'm sure there'll be plenty of newsworthy articles on the way shortly. Let's head over to the USPGA Tour now, because Steve's already briefly mentioned before that Michael Brennan was the winner of the Wyndham Championship. Stunning 4 days for him, finishing on 22 under par, 3 shots ahead of Bo Hostler in second. I mean, 66, 65, 63 and 66 for Brennan. You already mentioned, Steve, he wouldn't have been on your list for last week, but it's an outstanding performance.
Yeah, that's three consecutive PGA Tour winners now of a similar ilk. You know, big hitting American youngsters, rising stars of the sport. Jackson Koivun, Michael Fjeldbjornsson, Michael Brennan. That's a second PGA Tour title for Brennan. He's 24 years of age, magnificent ball striker, but struggles on the greens. You know, yeah, he's been abysmal on the greens. But last week, his putter was awesome. You know, he was the second best putter in the field, which is staggering, really, when you consider how badly he'd been putting recently. Didn't hold much in round one, so you thought it's the same old pattern, but hold everything over the final 3 days. I think he shocked himself with how well he putted. His short game's been terrible this season, but yeah, ball striking wise, one of the best in the business. So if he's sorted the putter, and he's got a new coach recently, new putting coach. If he sorted the putting, then yeah, massive title threat, massive future, and another young American that's looking hugely dangerous in the months ahead. You know, Team USA must be very excited. You know, Jim Furyk must be very excited. The Ryder Cup captain. Mm.
Yeah, President's Cup before then, of course, as well. Two more Americans in the top three, Bo Hostler and Ben James, both carded rounds of 61. Hostler in the first round and James in the final round. And just looking a little bit further down the leaderboard, two Englishmen in the top 10 as well, Harry Hall and Matt Wallace. Wallace in particular has been on a pretty decent run of form recently, Steve.
Yeah. I think Ben James is the one that I want to focus on, though, that's another one. He's going to win soon. Ben James will win soon. He finished third. We've been following him a lot lately. And you know, this Team USA side that comes to Adair Manor next year, it could be full of cocky young rookies. You know, maybe this is how Team USA, you know, stops the rot in the Ryder Cup. You know, bring all these, you know, there's no battle scars on your Jackson Koivuns, your Michael Fjeldbjornssons, Michael Brennan, Ben James. That's four world-class powerhouses that they could bring to Adair Manor. I mean, they had more rookies on their team than Europe last year, and Europe's continuity is the big thing. But yeah, they are four rookies. If they keep improving, but yeah, by the next Ryder Cup, they could be a real devastating force. So I'm excited by Ben James. I'm excited by Michael Brennan. I mean, the only reason I wouldn't have had Michael Brennan last week is just the course was not a good course fit for him. You know, that's for accurate, tidy, neat and tidy, accurate players who putt well. And then Michael Brennan suddenly produced the putting performance of his life. Ryder Cup massively on my radar, but we'll take each week as it comes. Cameron Young, flopping favourite last week, tied 61st. I still haven't got over him not winning the Open Championship. And on the evidence of last week, maybe he hasn't. You know, he's played twice since the Open, which I think is surprising scheduling. I know he's defending champion last week, but he's played twice since the Open. That's a strange move. Lacked a bit, you know, clearly lacking sparkle last week. I think he needs a week off before the Tour Championship. He's scheduled to play this week. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will indeed. And we'll get to the big event on the US Tour very shortly. Time to look ahead now to this week's golf action. And we start off in the European zone of the DP World Tour. It's the Danish Golf Championship to look forward to. Steve, tell us firstly a little bit about the course and what we can expect this week.
Yeah, the course is called Great Northern, and yeah, you're a Great Northerner, so you should probably get free membership of this course. The Great Northern is in Kerteminde on Funen Island, Denmark. 7,314 yards, par 72, four par fives, two par fours that look easily reachable for the long drivers. Wide fairways, large greens. So you think it's going to be an easy birdie fest, and you might be right for the first 2 days. Plenty of water hazards, though. The track is built around seven man-made lakes. Most players teeing up at Great Northern for the first time, but it did host a Nordic Golf League event from 2021 through 2025, the Great Northern Challenge. A field of 156 going to post. Sunny and relatively calm for the first 2 days. So the first 2 days are the scoring opportunity, and then it gets breezy over the weekend. Yeah, this track is by the coast. It's a linksy track, actually. It's next to the Great Belt Strait, so it can get windy here. It's an exposed track. Controlled aggression, the key to success, I feel, generous targets off the tee, plenty of risk-reward options. Power, a great asset on those four par fives, two reachable par fours. Place your bets by 6 a.m. UK time Thursday morning.
Okay, so don't be fooled by the red-hot heatwave conditions across Europe, because in Scandinavia, they're probably getting a little bit of wind with it as well, and may not be as boiling hot as it is elsewhere. Marco Penge was the winner of the Danish Golf Championship last year, but that was on a different course at Fureso, so a different task for the players this time around. And the Danish Golf Championship selection, Steve, how many have we got for this one?
We got four, Wazza. I won't do the traditional cry because I've got two young children in there who need no invitation to come and disturb me. So that I'll leave them where they are. I think they're watching.
Understandable. Understandable. Yeah. So four picks then for Steve for the Danish Golf Championship. And who is our main selection for this one, Steve?
Angeli, you're... the time has come, Wazza. Sweet spot darlings have been winning on the PGA Tour lately. Your Jackson Kuyvens, your Michael Thorbjornsens. Now it's time to get our reward for our relationship with Angel Ayura. He's one of the sweet spot harem, I would say, Wazza. But we haven't backed him much this season. We've only tipped him once this season. But I can't resist his charms this week. He's the pick of the market principles for me. He's been drifting in the betting, which has really, really excited me. Yeah, the Danes have been popular with the early bird punters. Rasmus Højgaard, Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. Money coming for those two, but it's the Spaniards that interest me most. Eugenio Chicara could really like this course. He deserves his short price, given his 2026 efforts. He's won twice. He's full of confidence. But at a bigger price, I slightly prefer Angel Ayura. I think over time will prove himself the better player. Still very young, still maturing. A 21-year-old with the world at his feet. Great Northern could be an ideal layout for him. Four par fives, two reachable par fours. I can see Ayura making so many easy birdies, particularly over the first 2 days with those calm skies. If he can avoid big numbers over the weekend, I think a breakthrough victory coming on Sunday. Brilliant iron player. That's the key to success this week, as it is on most Jack Nicklaus designs. He's got the power to take advantage of the scoring holes. He's got the iron play to handle these. A lot of approaches was it to... water guarded greens. Ayura's iron play, a massive asset this week. If he putts well, I think he's the man to beat. Much being made about these three missed cuts in a row. I don't care, frankly. It's one bad round in a high class Scottish Open on his course debut. Like loads of players, the vast majority of the field, the Scottish Open field, they know the Renaissance like the back of their hand. So Ayura's going there for the first time, and he's had one bad round. Yeah, he matched the score of Scottie Scheffler after 36 holes. So I'm not bothered about the Scottish Open. Then he missed the cut in the Open Championship on debut. So what was it? So what? Plenty of world-class players missed the cut on their Open debut. It's so difficult. So since then, nice breather. Hasn't played since Birkdale. I think they would have done him good. He's a busy boy. The Open was his 18th tournament of the year. So I like the break. And his overall body of work this season... You'll see plenty of evidence that the maiden win is coming. Fifth place in Qatar, eighth in Kenya, ninth in the South African Open, third in the KLM Open, which is a key piece of form, similar course to the one he's facing this week. Fifth in the Italian Open. I expect Ayura to be ahead at the halfway stage and then can play a bit more conservatively in the weekend breezes. So when I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running through my head. And I feel that love is dead. I'm loving Angel instead.
Oh, do you know what? I looked at his profile earlier and I couldn't believe he's actually still 21. When I see him play, he just seems to have that experience behind him. I can understand why you'd be so keen on him this week, Steve. He seems to have maturity above his age.
Absolutely. And he's got a haircut to die for, isn't he? Did you know his mum's a hairdresser? His mum's a hairdresser.
No, I didn't know that.
She's probably helped him cultivate that hair. But he's bursting with testosterone, that boy. And, how long would his hair be if he hadn't have cut it? he is an impressive specimen, Wazza. Let's be honest. He's an impressive specimen. I think the time has come. I think this is the course that's going to bring out the best in him. We just need that weekend breeze to not get too crazy. I don't want it becoming a weekend lottery, but if it's fair conditions over the weekend, he's the pick of the market principles.
Okay, Angel Ayora is the first of four picks for Steve. Before we get his other three, just to let you know, the SBK market has Eugenio Chikara, as Steve briefly mentioned there, towards the top of the prices, along with the likes of Rasmus Højgaard, Rasmus Nergaard-Petersen, Ayora and Oliver Lindell as well. That is the first of our four picks then for the Danish Championship this week. Steve, who is pick number two?
Jakob Skov Olesen. He'll be the Dane that gives these massive galleries plenty of fun. Yeah, the Rasmus is so popular this week. I think Jakob is the Dane that's better suited to the crowd pleaser role. Yeah, the fans get heavily involved in this event. It's a noisy, well-attended carnival atmosphere. Olesen is a fearless character. He was fifth in this tournament when he was an amateur in 2024. And this course, right up his alley. Great Northern. It's a linksy track, was a fast-running fairways, undulating, coastal location. Olesen is a links master. He won the Amateur Championship in 2024. He led the Open in 2025. Third in the Nexo Championship last year. Fifth in the Dunhill Links last year. Clearly one of the best young players on the DP World Tour. And he's been threatening a maiden win all year. Third in Qatar. Fifth in Kenya. Fourth in Turkey. Second in the Sudal Open. And he's made a couple of extremely profitable trips stateside. You remember he played in the Zurich Classic with Rasmus Nergaard-Petersen as his partner. They finished fourth in the Zurich Classic. And then last time out, he was sixth in the Corrales Punta Cana. So, yeah, my two main bets for this event, two of the brightest young things on the DP World Tour.
Yeah, just looking back at that Corrales Punta Cana, he was four rounds sub-70 from Jakob Skov Olesen, so goes into this in fine fettle. That's two of the four selections then for the Danish event this week. Steve, who is pick number three?
Mikael Lindberg, making the short journey from Sweden. This is a man who started his career on the Nordic Golf League. He won five times on that circuit. He won twice in Denmark in 2020. Then he won twice on the Challenge Tour, and then in May this year, he became a DP World Tour champion. You might remember it. Closely contested Turkish Airlines Open. Lindberg came through with some late class. This is a 33-year-old at the peak of his powers, a long driver who's harnessed that strength to become a greens and regulation machine. And the Great Northern sets up wonderfully for him. He's got the tools to destroy those scoring holes. He was fourth in this event last year, likes the atmosphere, playing close to home. I expect him to be in the thick of things.
Okay, another Scandinavian on the list this week for the trip to Denmark. So three down, one to go, Steve. And who are we looking at for pick number four?
Bernd Wiesberger. The early shows, disrespectful again, was I don't know what Big Bernd has to do to get the bookies' attention. It's been a pattern this year. It seems like the punting community has to knock the Wiesberger price into shape every time he plays. I think there's a lot of ageist golf compilers out there, wasn't it? You know, these young guns and their models, they disregard the older guys. I think if you turn 40, you're just considered gone at the game by these young gun odds compilers. But Wiesberger is exactly 40 years of age, remains one of the best players on the DP World Tour, nine-time DP World Tour champion. Two of those victories have come in this event. So he's going for a Denmark hat-trick, and I'm using him as a safety net this week because I'm expecting more attacking, more dynamic, more aggressive players to contend in this and win this event. You know, the top three names I've mentioned. But if that wind over the weekend is severe, then the course could become really difficult. You know, this is one of those courses that easy in calm weather, really difficult in tough weather. A bit like St Andrews in that respect, I suppose. So there'd be a premium on accuracy over the weekend. So Wiesberger is the pick of that type of player. So I think, you know, the swashbuckling golf of Ayora, Olesen, Lindberg will get him in the mix over the first 2 days. And then maybe Wiesberger is going to creep up over the weekend. So, yeah, nice safety net. Solid each way investment. You know, he won the China Open for us in April. Lots of bright golf since then. Third in the BMW International just a month ago. So and loads of good form on similar courses to this one. Use Bernd as your safety net. You've got your three main bets. And then, a lesser stake on Bernd Wiesberger. Get as many places as you can.
Yeah, And his form this season suggests that you should not be ruled out in your 40s. You've got every opportunity still win tournaments at this level. You say he won the Volvo China Open, which is, you know, one of the most difficult events earlier in the season to win. And Wiesberger's consistency for me always is temptation, I think, when you come to these sort of events.
Yeah, and he's driven to get to double figures. You know, he wants that 10th title. And he'll have dreams of getting back in the Ryder Cup team. You know, Wiesberger is a long way from being disregarded. You know, I proved it the other day. A 48-year-old with crippling arthritis. I teed up there expecting to, you know, I was just getting it airborne was the target. And then, you know, come the sort of the middle of the round, I'm firing 300-yard drives and tapping birdies. And you know, you never lose it, was it? Never give up.
No. Those rock hard fairways do help, though, Steve, to be fair. 300-yard drives these days.
That's true.
I do think, looking at those selections, there's a good mix of different types of golfers for this week. Was there anybody else who was close to being on the list, Steve?
Oh, blimey, yeah. I mean, to be honest, it was a tricky tournament to get down. But, I mean, the favourite was tempting. But, the price put me on. I just prefer a euro at a slightly bigger price. Our old friend Ohan Guillemonde guy. You remember he plays for us at a big price the other day. I was tempted by him, but four is enough. Guillemonde guy was the only other one I was considering seriously, really. Shikara and Guillemonde guy, but I'm happy with my lot, was I?
Yep. That is the four selections then for this week's DP World Tour event. Just a reminder, it is the Danish Golf Championship at Great Northern, and it gets underway on Thursday. We'll remind you, of course, of Steve's tips later on in the show, but we're going to go over the pond now to America for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. It is, of course, the first tournament of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Just give us a bit of a background to the playoffs, Steve, as well as looking ahead to TPC Southwind.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be the top 70 in the FedEx Cup standings in this, the first event of the three playoffs. Daniel Berger is not playing, so we've only got 69 going to post this week. Daniel Berger hasn't said why he's not playing, but he's had loads of injury problems here. More than likely some sort of injury issue. So, 69 this week, and then the top 50 get into the BMW Championship next week, and then the top 30 for the only one that really matters now with this new format. The top 30 playing the Tour Championship for the big potatoes.
So that's what the format is like then in terms of the playoffs for the FedEx Cup. In terms of the venue this week, TPC Southwind, what can we expect, Steve?
Yes, Memphis, Tennessee, 7,288 yards, par 70, two par 5s, 12 par 4s, 4 par 3s. It hosted the St. Jude Classic until 2018, then the WGC St. Jude Invitational from 2019 through 2021, and then this event from 2022 onwards. So loads of course form for punters to go through. Always been a stiff ball striking test. Finding greens in regulation is the main challenge. And the weather is often an issue in Memphis. Yeah, ludicrously hot this week, was it? Yeah, it's obviously hot here. We've got a heat wave looming large. We're all getting a bit scared. But over in Memphis, 37°C. The temperatures over there with a real feel. You like the real feel, was a real feel.
The real feel. Go explain a bit more about that.
I do not understand the real feel. Yeah, the real feel
is that how it feels compared to the temperature.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know how the boffins work, the weather boffins work it out, but I like to look at the real feel when I'm actually getting in amongst it, because that tells you what you're actually going to face. And the real feel in Memphis is 43°C. So I think the keys to success this week are accuracy and hydration management in Memphis. So, no wind in the forecast at all. So no wind to help the players cool down. The tournament starts about 2 p.m. UK time on Thursday.
I'm just sending a message to Gianni Infantino to see if we can sort some hydration breaks for this week's trip to Memphis. It sounds like they might well need it along the way this week. Not a massive surprise to see that Scotty Scheffler's at the top of the betting ahead of this tournament. Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Cameron Young, Tommy Fleetwood and Sam Burns make up the top six as far as the outright betting is concerned. We should point out as well, by the way, the last four FedEx and Jude Championships have all been at TPC Southwind, and three of them have been decided by a playoff, including last year's win for Justin Rose, who beat JJ Spawn over extra holes. So it could well be a tight affair again this week. Steve, how many selections have we got for the St Jude Championship?
Three.
Three picks then. And pick number one, our main selection for the US PGA Tour event, is who?
Ludwig Uber. I think the doubting community was a dwindling fast. You know, Michael Thorbjornsson is out of Dave Clark's bin. Dave Clark was talking about putting Ludwig Uber in his bin. You know, Dave Clark needs to not do that. This week, Ludwig Uber will explain why he shouldn't go in Dave Clark's bin by reminding the world of his world-class talent. The amount of stick Uber has got this season is ludicrous, in my humble opinion. He's only 26 years of age. He's been a professional just over 3 years. He's won on the DP World Tour. He's won twice on the PGA Tour. One of those events was a signature event. He starred on two Ryder Cup teams. You know, if Ludwig Uber hadn't won his singles match last year, we're in massive trouble. He's posted four major top tens, and the latest of them came in the Open last time out. You know, timely return to form. I think he's one of the hungriest elite players in attendance this week, was it? This is a key point because he hasn't won this season. All three of my tips for this event are winless this year because the format changes in the FedEx Cup playoffs do not provide any motivation for elite players to perform well in the first two playoff events. You know, they used to matter so much more when there was a handicap start in the Tour Championship. They're all competing over the first 2 weeks to try and get in, you know, a good place on the starting grid. And, you know, if you got to the front of the grid, you have such a good chance of winning the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup. Yeah, you know, now the playoffs for the elite, who are already guaranteed to be in the top 30, they're just warm-up spins for the Tour Championship.
So do you think, Steve, that they made a mistake by changing the format? Do you think it would be, you know, more interesting for spectators, but also just to keep the interest of the players in it as well?
Yeah, it makes the Tour Championship more exciting, but I think the first two playoff events are real, you know, there's a real damp squib. The players have all got their opinions, but yeah, I like the starting strokes. I like the starting strokes because I thought it made it more interesting. I know I was probably in the minority in that, but for me, these first two events are just, you know, for the elite, just warm-up spins. And, you know, the only elite players that I feel are motivated this week and would have prepared thoroughly for it are the ones that haven't won a tournament this year. Because if you're an elite player and you go for the whole year without winning a tournament, you go into Christmas fuming. You know, you're choking on your Christmas turkey. You're angry. So, like, I think Uber is one of those players that is fully switched on for this event. And, you know, as I say, the criticism's so harsh. I mean, the knives were out after after Sawgrass. He squandered a final round lead at Sawgrass. You know, I was as gutted as anyone that week, Dave. I was heartbroken. I was actually booking a holiday when he was in the lead, and then he suddenly stuck a couple of balls in the water and they just cancelled the holiday. You know, it was just it was devastating. But the coolest person around was Ludwig Uber. He just comes off the course and goes, yeah, I got a bit quick with a couple of swings. You know, he admitted it was a problem that he gets a bit quick on it with his swing under pressure. So it was a technical weakness that he was then going to vow to address and sort out. But that spell from Sawgrass till the end of May, you know, he was just relentlessly on leaderboards with, like, incredibly consistent ball striking. You know, five top five finishes in that stretch from March to May, including fourth place in the USPGA. Then he had a little flat spell after that, not helped, by the way, by his driver turning up in Scotland in two pieces. His airline really let him down. Like, so he comes over to Britain for the two-week spell, Scottish Open, and his driver's in two pieces. His launch monitor thing was completely destroyed as well. So he missed the cut in the Scottish Open with poor preparation there. But in the Open, right back at it. You know, ninth place at Birkdale. Did you see him at the Open, was it? He was looking good. He was looking really good. That was his seventh top 10 of the PGA Tour season. If you put a victory onto this 2026 body of work, it's suddenly a great season. Yeah, certainly an acceptable season. And TPC Southwind, cracking opportunity. Southwind all about ball striking class. Aubert, ninth in this event last year. He's seventh on the PGA Tour for strokes gained tee to green. The last six Southwind winners ranked in the top 10 for strokes gained tee to green. That is the key stat. So trust in Ludwig. Please trust in Ludwig. I know a lot of people, Dave Clark included, getting frustrated by Ludwig Aubert, but you know, this is a proper golfer. And have the Ayura Aubert double, was it? I mean, I does that not excite you? Does that not excite you? Yeah, we're middle aged men. What, not much can excite
it takes
us.
A lot to get us excited these days, Steve.
It does.
I have to say, I am a big fan of Ludwig Aubert, so it's kind of, you're preaching to the converted a little bit here, but what I would say as well is, if you're a young sports star across any sport, and you start your career as well as he's done, it's so hard. I think it's so hard to kind of back that up, and everybody then points, oh, he's not playing as well as he did before. It's like, well, yeah, but they're still young for, you know, the actual top level sport that they're playing in. And for anybody else of his age, this probably would have been a pretty decent season.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if he did the achievements that he's already got, if he'd done them just sort of slowly, they'd say, oh, his career's developing nicely. But as you say, you make that barnstorming start and then the pressure just goes flying on you. But yeah, Ayura and Aubert, was it? Yeah, if this can't excite you, nothing can. I mean, these are the two sexiest swingers in golf. They're both. Do you agree with me? Yeah, both of their swings are just so sexy. Yeah.
Going back to Ernie Els, Fred Couples day, basically. That's that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Fred Couples had flaws in his swing. Ernie Els, I'm with you on earlier. I think these are the two best swingers in golf, and this double really excites me. All we need is some putts to go in. You know, for both players. Yeah. You know, we need some putts to go in, but. You know, Michael Brennan shows what's possible. Michael Brennan, Michael Brennan had borderline yips a few weeks ago. Like it looked abysmal on the greens, and then all going in from all angles. So yeah, I think a Euro bear. I got a good feeling about this one. I think this is the sexiest bet I've ever put up. I'm going to excite you. I'm going to excite you this week.
Good stuff. We've got two more picks to excite me with for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. So Ludwig Aubert is the first selection. Who is pick number two, Steve?
Xander Schauffele, my old flame. I'll never forget the times we had together. We had so much fun, so much passion. But it was so nice to see Xander at his free-flowing best in the Rocket Classic last time out. I mean, Thorbjornsson was in unbeatable form. You know, Thorbjornsson won that well. Schauffele finished second. He talked in the build-up about trying to play with the freedom of old. I was so impressed with Schauffele from tee to green. It was a free-flowing, quality ball-striking performance. Fifth for strokes gained off the tee. Fifth for strokes gained on approach. His putting was solid. It was chipping that let him down again. Now he's had this strange issue around the greens for quite a while now. But such an encouraging ball striking display from Schauffele, and we've had lots of really encouraging ball striking from Schauffele in recent months. I have to have him in the Memphis staking plan because this course just rewards tee to green solidity. You know, Schauffele's career has been built on that. He's just completed another really solid majors campaign. I mean, you know, 9-7, 11-18. I mean, that's just another classic Schauffele majors campaign. So effective on difficult golf courses. It's not been an amazing season by his standards, but like Aubert, you know, loads of big checks have gone in the bank. If you put a win, it's the cherry on the cake of a solid campaign. He was seventh in the Genesis, third at Sawgrass, fourth in the Valspar. You know, Aubert and Schauffele, you know, the two elite golfers most motivated this week, I feel, just to get that first win of the year, and both well suited to Southwind. Schauffele was second at Southwind in 2024. If he hits the ball as well as he did in the Rocket Classic, he won't miss many greens, so therefore he won't have to worry about this chipping.
Okay, well, two of the big names then are the first two picks for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Steve, we've got one more selection. Who are we looking at here?
Justin Thomas. Another world-class player seeking his first win of 2026. It might have come last week, actually, had he not been carrying an ice-cold putter. He was 52nd in the Wyndham Championship putting stats. Still managed to finish 14th in the tournament. His driving was superb. You know, in the past been a weakness of Justin Thomas, but his driver was spot on last week. He carded three rounds of 66 last week, been churning out top 20 finishes on Parkland tracks. He had his trip to Britain for the Scottish Open and the Open, unspectacular, tailed off, made the cut in both, but tailed off. His last seven starts on Parkland courses have all yielded a top 20 finish. He was fourth in the USPGA, tied with Aubert. An approach play. This is so odd, but approach play has been the weakness this season. Yeah, it's staggering. Yeah, traditional strength of Justin Thomas. As soon as that old iron play returns, which is probably inevitable, unless the back surgery he had last year has done something really odd. I mean, I don't. You watch Justin Thomas. The swing doesn't look any different, does it?
It doesn't at all.
But the approach play stats, are. So I don't know whether something queer is going on with his swing. I can't see him swinging any different. So yeah, he's a course winner. He won this in 2020 by a 3-shot margin. That when it was a WGC, he was 12th on his Southwind debut in 2019. There's been some early money for him, but it's still a value price. And definitely another one, definitely up for this.
One thing that you might point at Justin Thomas recently has been a lack of consistency. But I suppose last week, three rounds of 66 in last week's tournament suggests that the consistency is there at the moment. And that will probably buoy him going into this week's event. So they are the three picks that Steve has gone with for the FedEx St Jude Championship. We'll reflect on all of those selections, of course, in a moment. So you're aware of all seven picks that Steve has gone with this week. Before we do leave the event, though, in the first of the FedEx Cup playoff events, Steve, we'll talk a little bit about Scottie Scheffler, because he is pretty short when you look at the betting. And most people will probably say not a massive surprise, because they're still... maybe the bookmakers running scared of Scotty a little bit, but of course we possibly the longest drought in his career so far in terms of victories.
Well, the drought is 16 tournaments, and he's had five runner-up finishes in that period, which is amazing, really. Cameron Young had five second places in 2022, you might remember, but yeah, to have this number of second places in a single season is so rare. Vijay Singh in 2003 is the one prior to Cameron Young. The record holder was it. I know you like your pub quizzes. I mean, if this one ever comes out in a pub quiz, you'll be the only one to get it right. The record holder for second places in a single PGA Tour season is Harold McSpaden. Guess how many Harold McSpaden had in 1945?
I was just about to say, are we going back to the 30s here? But it's 1945. How many second place finishes? I'm going 8.
He had 13, was it? 13. Harold 13. Jug McSpaden. I don't know why his nickname was Jug. I haven't got time to look
unlucky
into that.
Unlucky 13.
Has Scottie Scheffler heard of Harold McSpaden? I mean, if he keeps getting all these seconds, he'd be catching up with him. But I actually think this is a great course fit for Scheffler, to potentially end the drought. It sets up really well for him. He's finished 4th. And 3rd in the last two editions of the event. He's gone to a tempting price, but why has he only won one tournament this year? His approach play has not been as sharp as previous seasons, and he's missed a lot of short putts. If you look at his stats, his overall putting stats are really encouraging, but go to the PGA Tour website, you can get to the minutiae of like putts from certain distances. He's missing loads of short putts. Look at his stats from short range. One of the main reasons he's only won once. I prefer my three at the prices. Yeah, this is a 69 man field. You're not going to get big odds about elite players in a small field like this, but my three are viable each way investments at the odds. Scheffler I don't think is, because Scheffler has been unplaced in three of his last eight tournaments, I don't think you can consider him an each way bet to nothing. Some people might be lining up a quarter of the five, each way bet to nothing, but I don't think he is that. He's not for me.
Quick word as well on Rory McIlroy. Where are we with Rory at the moment, and why was he not on your list?
Well, it's a really hot week, isn't it? This is a course that requires discipline from tee to green, so lapses in concentration will be punished. Can we trust Rory to be fully switched on for this? I just don't see how we can. We mentioned the format. The format of the playoffs now, there's no FedEx Cup motivation for the best players in the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. As long as you're in the top 30, you have a chance of winning the FedEx Cup. You know, those starting strokes, you know, they made it better because they motivated players. And I actually think it's a slight disadvantage to be high in the FedEx Cup standings going into the Tour Championship, because they'll be the last players out. I know it's only a 30-man field, but, you know, you prefer to get out early. You know, morning tea times are better. You know, typically easier conditions in the mornings, isn't it? So, yeah, there's just no motivation to be high up the FedEx Cup standings, you know, just as long as you're in the top 30. So I think Rory's going to be pretty lacklustre over the next fortnight. He'd hardly hit a club. I think like a day or two ago, he started hitting balls again. So he hadn't hit a club since the Open. He went off to Greece. The McElroys and the Lowrys had a nice jolly family holiday in Greece. So it's been a proper let your hair down since the Open for McElroy and Lowry. And then I think he had a lad's holiday in Ibiza as well. So
can't go to two better places, can you, to chill out for a few weeks?
Yeah, so he's properly chilled out, but you know, maybe too chilled out. And as I say, when he returns, where's the motivation to get practicing? The fact he's only started hitting balls a day or two ago speaks volumes for me. So, I know he's gifted, and it doesn't take much to get going again. I know his daughter made a very funny comment, actually, about when he told his daughter he had to go practice, so he couldn't do something. She goes, "Well, you already know how to play. You know, why do you need to practice?" it's a fair
point. It's not a bad point, to be fair, isn't it? Yeah,
but,
exactly. Just to mark your card about the FedEx Cup playoffs, by the way. So it starts with the St Jude Championship this week. We've then got the BMW Championship starting on the 20th of August. And then it heads to the Tour Championship, the finale, of course, on Thursday, the 27th of August. And the sweet spot will be with you throughout, of course, the FedEx Cup playoffs. So something to look forward to, very much so, for golf fans over the next 3 weeks. That just about wraps up this week's Sweet Spot, but we do have to, of course, remind you of all 7 selections from Steve this week. And Steve will start off with the 4 picks for the Danish Golf Championship.
Angela Jore, Jacob Skov Olesen, Mikael Lindberg and Bernd Wiesberger.
And we have 3 picks for the FedEx St Jude Championship, and they are
Ludwig Auber, Xander Schauffele and Justin Thomas.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Palmer. They are your selections then for this week's events on the DP World Tour and the US PGA Tour. You seem to have got the bug back for playing golf even, Steve. Will you be out and about again on the fairways very shortly?
I don't know. There'll probably be a big gap to my next one for, you know, work and family reasons. But I'm more into the football at the moment. Was you must be pleased to see the football back. Yeah, the big kickoff came out, didn't it? The big pullout
this week.
Get your big kickoff. Weymouth made an amazing start to the season. Beat Dorchester 5-1 in the opening game. Yeah, local rival. So I think Weymouth are going to cruise to title glory this year, and my son's joined the under 8s team, so he's officially a part of the Weymouth FC squad now. He's in the under 8s, and Weymouth are playing Lark Hall Athletic tomorrow night, so I was going to go to that one. It's in Bath, not that far, but Terra's under 8s training is Wednesday night, so I've got to commit to the next generation rather than supporting the current generation. Is all very complicated, but
doing your bit for the club, Steve. You're bringing the young players through and helping them get to senior level.
That's it. Yeah, the children are our future. And I've got to make sure he doesn't stare at the solar eclipse without any glasses on, because he could be blind, couldn't he? He's not going to be it into the Weymouth FC team if he's blind. You be careful out there, Waz. You're aware of what I'm talking about. You got the solar eclipse.
I am. I've seen so many things this week about people talking about colanders and trying to direct them at your window that it's completely baffled me.
Colanders? What's a colander?
A colander. You know that you put you drain your pasta in. You're supposed to angle it at a certain level and put a piece of paper down, and because you're not supposed to obviously look at the sun, and it's supposed to direct the sun down to the piece of paper, and you're supposed to see when the sun is blocked by the moon, and then you sort of see the shade of it from there. It seems a bit underwhelming, really, isn't it, when you can't really look at it?
No, I've heard these special glasses are the key to success. Try and get hold of a pair of them.
Sold out, though, in most areas, to be fair, so... Don't do it with sunglasses, I'm told. It does not work, so don't use your sunglasses.
Yeah, yeah.
But safety when looking at this solar eclipse.
Don't look at it. Don't film it, because that can actually break your phone, apparently. And just, yeah, there's going to be a lot of blind people on Thursday morning, I fear. But yeah, anyway, let's not end this podcast on a downer. Yeah, look after your eyes. Look after your eyes.
Positivity. I'll end with a positive note. I'm playing golf tonight, so I look forward to that. Nice big one. Thanks to Steve for all of his tips this week. And, of course, we'll be back next week as well here on The Sweet Spot. Make sure you join us on the Racing Post YouTube channel. As I say, we'll be back at 5 p.m. on Tuesday next week to preview the BMW Championship and the Nexo Championship as well. Until then, like, comment, share and subscribe. Enjoy your golf. Please remember to gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next week.